Isaiah chapter 16, right about the middle of the book. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Isaiah, right before Jeremiah. And it wasn't the bullfrog either. Well, the song said Jeremiah was a bullfrog, but it's going to be before we get to the bullfrog, huh?
Never heard that.
Never heard that? Huh. I have to put him back in the 60s and let him hear that one. Turn on the XM radio and let him hear it.
He can sing it.
Huh?
And he can sing it.
Yeah. Okay, is everybody there? Isaiah chapter 16. I'm going to read it first and we'll break it down. Chapter 16, verse 1. Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness and to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that the wandering bird cast out of an as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make your shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcast dwell with you in Moab. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler, for the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceases, the oppressors are consumed out of the land. And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hastening righteousness. And it's hard to read this knowing these words aren't right. I'll get back to it. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud, even his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. Therefore shall Moab howl for Moab. Everyone shall howl for the foundations of Kir Hareseth. Shall ye mourn? Surely they are stricken. For the fields of Heshbon languishes, and the vine of Sibmah, the lords of the heathen have broken down the principal plants thereof. They are come even into Jazer. They wander through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. Therefore I will bewail with the weeping of Jazer, the vine of Sibmah. I will water thee with the tears of Heshbon and Eliah, for the shouting of your summer fruits and for the harvest is fallen. And gladness is taken away, and joy out of the plentiful field. And in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread out no wine in the presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease. Therefore my bowels shall sound like a harp for Moab, and my inward parts for Kir Haresh. And it shall come to pass, when it is seen that Moab is weary on the high place, that he shall come to his sanctuary to pray, but he shall not prevail. This is the word of the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years as the years of a hireling, and the glory of Moab shall be contemned, with all that great multitude, and the remnant shall be very small and feeble. It is difficult sometimes to read this knowing I'm reading words that's not supposed to be there. Okay. Back to the first verse again. Send ye the lamb. What lamb are we talking about here? The Lamb of Christ. Okay. But this isn't a baby lamb. This lamb right here is full grown. He said, send the lamb not to the ruler, but to be the ruler. See, this is someone saying, come on, bring him. To the ruler of the land from Selah, and that word right there literally means the rock. And what's the rock represent? The Christ again. It's 1 Corinthians 11. He said there was a rock that followed him through the wilderness. Unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. To the mountain of the daughter of Zion. Because it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so shall the daughters of Moab. And Moab represents what?
Flesh.
So the daughters of the flesh, the ones born from the flesh, he said, they shall be at the fords or the crossing place of the Amorites. Not Arnon, but the Amorites. The crossing place is the Jordan River, the descender, the place of death. So when they come to this place of crossing, where the Amorites cross, guess what? When you cross that river, there's no Amorite comes out the other side.
Dead.
It goes through as an Amorite, comes out as a reborn Christ. He said, take counsel. Now, once you cross over, here's what you got to do. This is your nature. It's not something you have to do. It's something you cannot help but do. Execute judgment or do justice. And make your shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Think about that. Your shadow in the midst of the day will be like the nighttime.
That's it.
It covers everything. Okay, watch what comes to the rest of the verse and you'll see it. Hide the outcasts. See, you become a covering and a protection and a shield for everybody else. Doesn't it say that He is our high tower, He is our shield? Okay, that's what we got to become, the same nature He has. Not to hurt, not to destroy, but to protect and to shield them. Okay? Isn't that what He came to do? Excuse me?
Life more abundantly.
Right. He didn't come to judge us, He came to help us.
But to become just like Him.
Right. He said, hide the outcast, and the word beray should literally be expose. Expose him not that wanders or is an outcast. Don't expose them, but to cover them. What was the very first thing God did when Adam was an outcast?
Covered him.
He killed the animals and covered him. He's showing you the nature that should be in us. When we see someone having a problem, we don't kick them when they're down. See, only the church kills their wounded. We're supposed to bring them in, bind them up, and take them on. We're not supposed to expose them and destroy them. We're supposed to cover them. Verse 4, let my outcast dwell with you, it says. And that's not true. It's in. I-N. Let them dwell in you. He's talking to who? Moab is who?
Flesh.
He said, let them dwell in you. See, we're dwelling in the flesh, are we not?
Mm-hmm.
And this is God's command. Let them dwell in the flesh. It's okay. Be thou a covert or a covering, is what it should say. A covering to them from the face or the presence of the spoiler. In here, I'm protected. Just as God killed the beast and covered Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the same thing He's telling us. This flesh is your protection right now until I get you ready to come out. It's our protection. No different. Same story. You just got to see it. When He covered Adam, He covered who? All of us. He covered him in the beast's nature, the flesh. Because the extortioner, and that's literally the oppressor is not at an end, but is to come to an end. There's going to be a time when the oppressor doesn't oppress you anymore. That's a wonderful thing, see, when you understand it. When you come to this maturity in God, it's going to be a time where it's not a battle anymore. Do you remember when Jesus was in the desert in the Gospels, when He was out there 40 days, 40 nights? And at the end of this temptation, it said the angels came and ministered to Him, and the devil, the oppressor, departed Him for a season. He left, but He come back. He just gave Him a time of rest. But you know, when He come back, do you really think He had any power over Him? There's no way. There's no way. The spoiler, or the oppressor, or the... Let me get it again. The destruction ends is what it should say. The destruction says the spoiler ceases. It should say the destruction ends. He can no longer have any power over you. The book says you were bought with a price. You're not your own, correct? So guess what? If I'm bought with a price, then I'm no longer my own. I don't have a choice in this matter. My master controls me. See? So I do what he tells me to do. And he said when it's over with, guess what I believe? Just what he said. It's over. The oppressors, the oppressors are to be consumed, okay? Out of the land. Now, let me take you to a place. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, or 2, is it? Let me see. Chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Proverbs. I'm going to start verse 20. That you may live in the way or the path or the lifestyle of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Verse 21, because the upright shall dwell or remain in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. That ought to make everybody happy. He's not talking about people leaving the earth. What are we made out of? earth. He's going to take the error, whatever the fleshly thinking process in us is, and get rid of it. He's not going to destroy a type of people because we're all his children. If I have a child that's disobedient, Lloyd has three of them sitting right there. And all of them at some time or another, hard to believe, but they do something wrong. Don't they? Sooner or later, they do something wrong. Now, he's not going to take them out and tie them to a tree and nail them up and hang them and kill them. But he is going to take the rod of correction on them. And that's exactly what God is going to do to us. He's going to correct us by and remove that thing out of us.
I am faithful to correct, to do whatever I have to do to correct them.
And that's the love of God, see? You love your children, you got to correct them.
It's just his father.
Yep. Yeah. He corrects you, don't he?
He's very faithful to correct us.
Absolutely.
I have to be the same.
I'm glad he is faithful to correct us, or we could be back in the same mess we was in years ago. Verse 5, and in the mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth, the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David, what is that? No, I'll show you something. The tabernacle is something you dwell in. He said he's going to sit upon a throne dwelling in the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David is the flesh. It was a tabernacle not built with hands. See, the tabernacle is not built with hands. Where does God dwell?
In us.
This is the tent that he dwells in, the tabernacle of David. That's all. It wasn't built with hands like all the ones of the Old Testament were built with stone, you know, hammered out. And it says when the tabernacle of David, the new tabernacle comes, it's one that there be no sound of an iron tool. The new tabernacle, no iron tool. Iron speaks of stiff-necked, hard-headedness.
Stubborn will.
See, there's none of that going to be in this new tabernacle. So that's a promise. See, that's a promise. When I get through working on you, you're not going to have any of these traits in there that are wrong.
He says he'll sit there in truth, and that is the truth.
He'll tell you the truth whether you like it or not. And the truth makes a lot of people angry. It's okay. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword in it. The ones that it can kill some and heal the others at the same time. If that surgeon's knife isn't doing it the right way, he could kill you or he could heal you. Both ways. But he'll set upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hastening quick justice. Okay. Not going to prolong it. He'll bring it when it's time. Nothing before it's time. I want to say something else that, because of our concept, the way we read Scripture, we have a tendency to read what is written in whatever translation of book we have, rather than listening to the Spirit of God, which is in all people. God will talk to you when it's time. If he wants you to hear it, he's going to tell you what you need to hear. If he don't want you to hear anything, you're not going to hear anything, you just go on and read it the way it is. In the Ten Commandments, most people say, thou shalt not. It's like a threat. Say, false. It's false. That's the way they interpreted it. It should say, it's 10 promises or 10 prophecies to you. When I get done working on you, you will not want to kill anybody. You will not want to steal from anybody. You won't want to lie to somebody. You won't want to covet what someone else has. That nature won't be in you. You don't have the opportunity anymore. When he first showed that to me was like when he says, Ezekiel, I'm going to take out your old heart and give you a new one. And again, we said heart is mind. Okay? So you're going to take that old process out. Let's just take the natural. Because the natural does teach you about spiritual, doesn't it? Okay, take the heart out. They say someone has a heart transplant. The heart's not functioning properly. They're going to die if they don't get a new one. They get the new one, put it in, everything's fine. What do they do with the old one? Throw it away. Why do they throw it away? It's worthless. Can they draw anything from it? No. So listen to this. When he gives you that transplant, when God gives it to you, it's not what you do to earn or anything else. When God gives it to you, you can no longer draw from that old heart, that old thinking process. See, I can't think about the way of hurting somebody. I can't possibly want to do anything against his nature. That ought to make you happy. It's not about you. It's what he's doing. And when he gets ready to do it, he's going to do it. He's not going to ask your permission. Believe me, he will not. From experience, I know. He doesn't ask permission. He does what he wants to do. He just took it. See, it's okay. It's all right.
He'll do it all.
He's going to do it all. It's all about him. It's all about him.
We're his workmanship. That's it.
And if he's got a crack in the vase, he's going to fix it. He'll fix it. Okay. Verse 6. We have heard the pride of Moab, against the flesh. Not he, but it. It is very proud. The flesh is very proud. Even his haughtiness, okay, should be its, even its haughtiness or its arrogance, and his pride, his wrath, but his lies, or not lies, but his boasts, like when you're boasting about something, his boast shall not be true. So he's saying the arrogance and the pride will always do what? Lie. Verse 7. Therefore shall Moab howl for Moab. You know what I got written at the bottom of this page?
Woe is me.
Pity party. Pity party. Going to, woe is me. Wah. Like a little baby. See? Every time something goes wrong, they feel sorry for themselves. Somebody did something to me. I ran into a little girl over in McDonald's a few weeks ago, and a couple of these other preachers were doing things, trying to help her. They gave her some money, and they gave her some coupons to get some free sandwiches and everything. Well, she was taken care of. And then he said, go see him. They brought her over and set her down at the table where I sat and said, let him talk to you. Because they didn't know what to do with her. And she started telling me her story about her husband had done so many bad things, and they got a couple kids, and she was just a young girl, about 22 maybe, something like that, real young. And she's a cute little girl, and she said, you know, I'm homeless. I walked the streets all last night, and she said, this other church gave me a motel room for a week, you know, and my kids are at my mom and dad's house, and give me all the story. But she kept going back and saying, my husband took all of our money. My husband took our food stamps. My husband done this. My husband done that. And I said, would you stop a minute? She said, what? I said, you will never change the position you're sitting in until you quit blaming your husband for everything going on and accept the responsibility. You're their mama. You was the mama of those babies. And you got a responsibility to take care of them, even if daddy don't. And I said, if you would take care of that money and not give it to daddy, who you know is a drug addict and an alcoholic, don't blame him. Blame yourself because you are part of it. You gave in to him rather than standing up and doing your job and protecting your children. Now, people sitting around didn't think I was being real nice to her. But I told her the truth. Them babies need protection. If daddy ain't doing it, you better do it. You're mama. See? And you'll never change until that. Well, she never got offended. She said, I never thought of it that way. She might have heard something. I hope she did. She's never been back, and they live right around here somewhere, so evidently maybe she heard something. I hope she did. But we all have to accept responsibility for our lives. And it's not going to be easy. Every one of us could tell stories all day long if we wanted to get into that, of things we have to go through. But it's to help us get better, okay? Rather than leaving us wallowing in that pity party like Moab. Everyone shall howl. How many is going to howl? We've all had our day when we cried. We all have. Woe is me. Wah, little pity party going. Because the foundations, and that word foundations, it says the ruined foundations. That means an unstable foundation. Cracked and broken, upheaved, of Kirhar Seth, and that speaks of a fortress of earthenware. See? I'm counting on my flesh to do it. I used to say it this way. I can do all things through Dave who strengthens Dave. And I found out Dave ain't squat. It's only the Christ within me that does anything. Like Paul said, it's not I, but the Christ that lives within me. It's no longer trusting in flesh and blood to take care of anything. And he said, and Kirhareseth shall you mourn, the foundation of Kirhareseth shall you mourn. And that word mourn is murmur and complain. How many people do that?
Drama queens.
Oh, the world is full of, they all ought to go to Hollywood and maybe the rest of it would break off and be gone then. They all pile up out there. Okay. Because they're mourning, surely they are stricken. Yep, they've been stricken. Verse 8, because the fields of Heshbon, which is a stronghold, languishes or droops, and the vine of Sibmah, and that's the vine of fragrance, the lords of the heathen have broken down the principal plants, the grapevine, it should say, thereof, and are come even into Jazer as a place of help. They wandered through the wilderness. Its branches are stretched out, and they are what? gone over or have covered the sea, the humanity. So he's saying, hey, these, the help has been sent out. That was a lamb that was slain when?
Before
the foundation of the world. It was sent out. They've already covered. If you look in the first verse of the Bible, what's it say? Very first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1:1. Let me read it to you. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The first two verses are what he's talking about right here. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. That's the flesh and the spirit, the perfect God-man. And the earth was without form. Literally, it was empty and desolate. And void, or that should be empty and desolate. And darkness or ignorance was upon the face or the mind of the deep, which is humanity. And the Spirit of God moved, or literally brooded, upon the face, protected the face or the mind of the waters of humanity. God protected them. The Spirit is brooding over them, protecting, just like he said right here. The branches have spread out over and covered them to protect them. It's the same thing. He's protecting them. When we're in ignorance, we need protection. And if you don't think God protects the ignorant, go out in the world and watch them. I mean, that's a circus out there. Watch the things they do and survive. And we shouldn't, should we? If it only wasn't for the grace of God, would we be sitting here today? There's no way. He covered us in our ignorance, just like he covers everybody else. Verse 9, he goes on and says, therefore I, now note the I will. Who's speaking? God speaking through, no, it's God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He said, I will weep with the weeping of Jazer, which is an Amorite, the vine of Sibma, which is a vine of fragrance. And what do you think that fragrance is? What was the stuff they put in the grave with him?
The frankincense
and myrrh, the spices and stuff, the aloes, all this stuff they put in there. This is that fragrance, that sweet smell that they put in of the anointing. He said, I will water you with my tears, O Heshbon. And Heshbon means what? The stronghold. He said, I'm going to cry over you. And Eliah, that means God is ascending. For the shouting, for thy summer fruits, and for the harvest is ceased.
Isn't that the same where he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I have wept over you.
Jesus said, I've wept over you so many times. I would have put you under my wings like a mama hen does her chicks. Yeah, but you wouldn't do it. So he's going to have to let you go through some hard things to find your way back. It's okay. But notice that he took the summer fruits away and he took away the harvest. God said, I will, didn't he? He said it there twice. I will do these things. And gladness is taken away, and joy out of your vineyard. That plentiful field is a vineyard. And in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting for joy. The treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease. Who said it? God did through the prophet Isaiah. He was speaking as a mouthpiece of God. So God did all these things. He stopped it. So all the things that the people are doing out here, and the treadmill, the vats, the wine presses and everything, it's all speaking about the church. They're trying to do it on their own with their own natural strength. They come up with their own little cliches. You see them on all these little things around the churches, you know, CHCH, what's missing? You are, you know, things like that. You know, you got to be in the church. You got to come to our place. You got to do this thing. You got to do that. And it's come up with their own doctrines. I had a woman one time tell me after I got through ministering, she come and complained. She said, my church don't do it the way you said that. And I said, well, that's okay. And she said, well, I don't believe it. And I said, that's okay. And I said, if you don't believe it, that's okay. I said, but the book says we're saved by grace through faith, and that's what I was ministering on. This not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. And she says, well, my church don't teach it that way. And I said, well, ma'am, that's okay. And she said, I don't care if Jesus Christ himself said it. I still wouldn't believe it because my church doesn't teach it that way. I mean, see, the church is the idol. See, they're not looking at God. They're looking at what their church teaches. And don't think that's really hidden out there. That's everywhere. They believe in their churches. It's not about a church. It's about, we are the church. We're the called out people. And that's, I mean, it's everybody God's called, but few are chosen. There's some of them he does a little differently. It's his business, not mine. I'm not the boss, I'm the servant here, so I can't change anything like that.
When it says shall tread no wine, yeah. Presses, wine speaks of revelation.
Sure, they're not going to get anything out of it. They're not going to get anything. And they're not going to have any fruit, and the fruit is people. They're not going to have it. The fruit's not going to be good ripe fruit, it'll be green fruit.
Because grapes are harvested, actually that has to do with tabernacles, because that's the season that they're harvested.
Well, the Passover and Pentecost can do anything they want to, because they haven't heard yet.
Right.
They don't wake up till the third day. That's just the way it is. If Jesus said, today and tomorrow I do miracles and cures, and then on the third day I'll be perfected, then what day will we be perfected? See, the third day, same realm. And see, that's not a label. Everybody wants to be in, I want to be Passover, Pentecost, I want to be tabernacles, I want to be sonship, I want to be this, I want to be that. It's not about that. It's about who you are. Where are you individual? Where am I standing in God? That's all it's about. It's not about, you know, this church versus that church or all that foolishness. It's about standing in where God has called you to stand. And you know, God called Moses to do what he did. What about Pharaoh? Who called him? God called him. And he said, when he told him, go tell him to let my people go, but he's not going to because I'm going to harden his heart so he won't. I mean, come on. Who's in control of everything? Good, bad, and indifferent? God is. And we have to learn to accept that I don't like it all the time, but I can't change it, and I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Yeah. There's terrible things happen every day. People ask me, well, how come God lets little babies die? I don't know. I experienced that. I had a grandson die, 2.5 years old, full of life, and boom, 5 minutes later, he was gone. You know, drowned. I mean, that ain't right. In my mind, that ain't right. You know, won't you punish some heathen out there for it, you know? But I have to, what right have I got to go through life and protect me and never experience what they got to experience? I got to experience it too. It ain't right. I mean, I didn't like it. But you know what? I had to accept it. I couldn't change it.
Potter does what he wants with the vessel.
He shapes the clay any way he wants to. It's not easy, but I can't change it. I just have to accept it and go on. That part, I can do nothing about. Just say, okay.
I think things like that, he has to have people who experience so you can...
Take someone else through it.
Yeah, I
agree with you. It's for someone else. See, it didn't do it to me, did it for me, to strengthen me to where I can handle and help someone else get through it. And I've had to.
Well, that's where we go back in that verse 8 and 9 up there, where we start whining for the flesh. And that was his full intent. He wasn't there to pamper the flesh at that time. He was there to teach us something. Experience to teach others on the long run.
Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom. See? So this flesh is a covering, like he said. He put this covering on here. They're going to dwell in the flesh to protect them, be a covering for them until the time to come out. Just like he said in Galatians 4, we're all under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Until he wants us to come out, he's got to protect us. He's got to keep us in that safety place where we can't be damaged until we get strong enough to make it on our own. Look at all of nature. Mama animals and daddy animals out here all over the world, they protect their young with their lives until they're on their own. And then they kick them out of the nest or run them away or whatever. When it's time, they know when it's time and they put them out. And you know, we as humanity want to think, oh, that's cruel. No, it's not. That's the only way they're going to learn to survive. Just like our children come to a place, they got to go on down the road. They got to go on and make their own families. You know, you can't all stay there. And that's what happens with the church world. It becomes incestuous. You just keep living off of your own group and not spreading out. See? And church is incestuous, believe me. Just families all tied together. That's all it is in the natural.
See, you can't, just like what Watchman Nee said, you can't teach someone something that you haven't learned yourself.
So you absolutely can't. You absolutely cannot. Okay, where'd I leave off at? Okay, it's 11. Wherefore, my bowels, that word bowels is the heart, but it really means the mind. In my mind shall sound like a harp, you know, music for the flesh. And my inward parts, and that's a fortress of earthenware for care her, the inward parts, excuse me. The bowels and inward parts is the same word, heart, mind. in my mind for Kir Hargis, which is the fortress of earthenware. He said, I feel sorry for you. You know, I have compassion for you, what you have to go through, but you still got to go through it. I still have compassion, but you still got to go through it. And it shall come to pass when it is seen that Moab, the flesh, is weary on the high place speaking of pride and arrogance, that he shall come to his sanctuary to pray, but he shall not prevail. No matter what you pray for, if you're praying for the wrong reasons, it's not going to come to pass. Just to get you out of some situation, guess what? He's not going to get you out of it, he'll get you through it. And then you'll gain from it. This is the word the Lord spoke, not has spoken, but spoke concerning Moab at that time. And it's important that he said at that time, because that was the Old Testament, Old Covenant, wasn't it? There's a change coming. But now the Lord speaks, saying, within 3 years as the years of a hireling. Do you know what we are when we began in this? We're a hireling. They control us. They manipulate us. They do everything in the first few realms of the church. They tell us when to and when not to. Don't do this. Don't touch that. Don't eat this. Don't say that. Don't look at this. You know, get rid of all your stuff. You have to get rid of your TVs. Don't do this. I mean, all these foolish things the church comes up with. It's foolishness.
And we were foolish enough to do it.
And we always are foolish enough. See, they own us. We go through that realm, you know, and we get rid of all that stuff because we've been told, oh, that's devil stuff, you know.
3 years speaks of, really, three is a spiritual progression.
Well, that's your dust, sand, stars.
Yeah.
First day, second day, third day.
It's always a progression that takes time.
God. Ophel, Moriah, Mount Zion. Dust, sand, stars. It's all through the book, isn't it?
Yep.
But this is the good part. Within 3 years as the years of a hireling, we're going to be like a hireling for 3 years. But when we get in that third year, things are going to change. The glory of Moab, the flesh, shall be dishonored. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to hate your flesh. This. It means that the thinking process that humanity has got is not going to be respected anymore. I don't pay attention to my flesh when it cries out. I just don't do it. I mean, I got lots of situations. Everybody has situations. I'm not going to get into that. We all got reasons we can cry out and complain and murmur. Now, I have no respect for what my natural mind tells me. And I know the difference. The only way you're going to learn to tell the difference between the voice of God and the voice of yourself, your flesh crying out, is know the nature and character of God through the Word of God. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice, and the voice of another or the other, they will not hear. See? So when you learn to hear his voice, it's just like if we talk on the phone quite a bit, most people I know, we can talk on the phone. As soon as the phone, I don't have to ask who it is. I know who it is. It's not the caller ID. I recognize the voice. And that's called communion, communicating with someone. When you communicate with someone, and when we communicate with God, we learn what his nature and character is. I hear people say all the time, well, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, or God told me to do that. It's totally against what the book says to do. So I know it's not right. See, they're just saying some religious word, a buzzword they use, and think that you think they're spiritual because they say, God said. No, I know what God said. I know his voice, and I know he would never tell me to hurt someone. See, he would never tell me to lie to him. Or to steal from them. See, I know that. And all these other things that come out. It's not going to happen. See, he didn't tell me. So we got to learn to know the voice. Okay? And the glory of Moab shall be dishonored with all that great multitude. He's talking about all of humanity. And the remnant. Here's the key. Watch this. And the remnant shall be what? Why come a church says we're going to win everybody at the end. We're going to get a whole bunch and have this big influence. It doesn't say that, does it? Said the remnant will be very small and feeble. Well, wait a minute. They say we're going to be overcomers and we're going to conquer the world. That's not what it says. We're going to be very small in number and we're going to be very feeble. What's the book say about feeble? When you are weak, he is strong. Uh-huh. So guess what? They're not drawing from their own strengths. They're drawing from the Spirit of God. Hey, he's telling you the truth what it's going to be. There are never going to be big crowds hearing what we're saying here. Never going to be. It's not meant to be yet. It's always going to be a few, the remnant. Always the remnant, the few. That's okay. That's what God has it set up, and that's the way we'll follow it. And I'm done. Anybody got any questions, comments, or rocks to throw? We accept them all.